In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is from St. John chapter 20. Jesus gives the disciples his Holy Spirit and then has an encounter with doubting Thomas. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." When we hear those words, there is an urge in every one of us to congratulate ourselves. So give yourself a pat on the back. Go ahead. Truly did Jesus say that they are a stiff-necked people and their anatomies and other places in their anatomy too. Now go ahead, pat yourself on the back. Just be careful you don't hurt yourself. Be careful you don't hurt yourself. Making my journey through life, I find the proposition of faith alone increasingly difficult. Years ago, I had a conversation with Dr. Horst Neumann, the director of the Lutheran Hour office in Germany. The wall had just gone down, and we were visiting churches in East Germany. And the color to describe East Germany is gray. The sky was gray, leaden, and wintry. The buildings were all gray, covered with decades of coal soot. And the soul of the East German people was gray, depressed. So I asked Dr. Neumann, how is it that these people for decades could believe in the communist system, seeing that they had nothing really to show for it? And his answer was, it's just like Christianity. They live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just about everybody in this world has faith. It may be faith in communism, it may be faith in family, it may be faith in a career, it may be faith in your future ministry. And there are people who like being in love with the concept of love. There are people who have faith in the proposition of faith. But of course, faith is more than an intellectual proposition. Well, maybe I shouldn't say of course, because it's when we take our assumptions for granted that the devil does some of his most fatal work. Being in love with love is a counterfeit. Being in love with a person is the real thing, and so also it is with faith. Donald Coggan, former Archbishop of Canterbury, put it this way: one of the most common errors about Christianity is that it is a recipe for being good, that its primary purpose is to tell people how to improve themselves as life goes on. That is a great fallacy. Christianity is essentially a story. A story of what God has done about our great enemies of sin and death, of what he, by his Spirit, through his church, is still doing in this sphere, of the climax toward which he is working and which he will finally achieve. The story is centered in the person of Jesus Christ, not so much in what he taught, though that is of immense importance, as in what he was and did. Especially clearly is that seen in the events which we connect with Good Friday and Easter Day. The essence of the Christian proposition of faith is different than any other proposition to live by faith in this world. What Jesus tells us in John chapter 20 is put your finger here, reach out your hand, essential proposition, propono. Put your finger here. Reach out your hand. Come unto me. Follow me. Draw us to thee. Let us ever walk with Jesus. Doubting Thomas had his foibles. We all do. But Thomas is not the main actor in the story, and neither are we with some false notion of faith. The main actor in the story is Jesus. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes. Yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fear to quell, no soul to save. It's about Jesus, main actor. Someplace, Martin Luther compares faith to an ascent into darkness. And I found that jarring the first time I read it, but I'll admit that I have come to be quite comfortable with that image of faith, an ascent into darkness. Making my own sanctified journey in life, I find that I am so uninformed about so many things of God. And I find that I am also so dissatisfied by so much theological chatter. It doesn't do my head and especially my heart any good. But I'll tell you what it is for me. I, who am in darkness, I have lived in my kind of East German darkness, gray skies. So if I may make a testimonial, I find that as I am making my journey from the baptismal tomb to future coming resurrection, I am more and more consciously dependent. I am more and more conscious of my desperate dependence upon the person of Jesus. I am experiencing in a lifetime what the grandchild of the sainted Dr. August Menicke shared in a moment. Dr. Menicke wrote this: "Our daughter shared a conversation she overheard at home. Our 3-year-old grandson was standing at the basement stairs, trying to muster enough courage to make the descent. Before taking the first step, he said, 'Oh, Jesus, it's awful dark down there. You had better hold my hand.'" Jesus says, "Breathing on them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins," etc., etc. You know how it goes. Just as Thomas is not the main focus of the text, so also the ultimate focus is not the office of the keys. As wonderful as the office of the keys is, and it is, it can be used in a way that exalts us. And I've seen some ministers do that. I have also noted it in some students' sermons. It is used for self-exaltation. The office of the keys is essential. But it is a means to an end, and the end is the person of Jesus. It's Jesus who says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," his Spirit. And it is Jesus who says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So I say, be careful. Anatomically, it is rather awkward for us to reach back and pat ourselves. But the Creator designed us so that it is easier to reach forward. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, so that you and I can reach forward to His person. And He gives that Spirit to us in what Martin Franzmann once called these gray and latter days. The psalmist says, in your light we see light. I know of no more urgent prayer that any one of us can pray on this journey from baptismal tomb to a coming resurrection. No more urgent prayer that we can desperately pray than, Lord Jesus, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen.